Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hope everyone is staying safe and healthy. Continues to be just crazy times. And salute to everybody out there who's navigating through it, especially all the hospital workers on the front lines, the people who are getting things to us that we need. There's so many heroes, true heroes, that are going to emerge from this thing when we're all said and done that we have to toast them for like a year.
Amen.
At the very least. Maybe they'll always be viewed as the heroes, as they should. So,
I ventured outside this weekend for the first time in 3 weeks.
What do you mean you
ventured outside? Well, not outside, but I actually got in a car and drove.
So you went to, what'd you do, go to the grocery store?
I did not. I went to the gas station.
You got to the, did you use a towel or like a glove?
No, I used
a glove?
I washed my hands.
Okay, so you just washed your hands right after the filling the tank?
I didn't touch my face. Yeah, and I had hand sanitizer, so when I got in the car, I was very careful, washed my hands, and then when I got home, I washed my hands after not touching my face as well.
You're not allowed back here for another 3 weeks now.
Well, that's not up to you. That's up to Danny Zetter, who's also riding the contest.
What'd you pay for gas? Did you get as low as $1.29?
My daughter's check engine light was on, so I figured maybe it was a bad gas mistake that she had put the wrong gas in the car. So I filled it up with the expensive gas. No, it wasn't diesel. I filled it up with the more expensive gas that was, still under $2, I think.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not going to make the same mistake that the guy did in your presence last week or 2 weeks ago and be really excited
he
about
it. He was bragging about it. The guy was doing a whole touchdown dance, celebrating about how cheap gas was. I'm like, dude, you know, we're still on the wrong end of this thing.
I didn't even want to let that guy have a small victory. Even a small victory.
Look at the market. Look at the hospital workers and can't go to a restaurant, can't go to a sporting event.
Look at my kid's hair.
But yeah, and I just tweeted it out.
Mason looks like he's going to cry.
Well, wouldn't you if somebody took a pair of scissors to your hair and that's what it came out?
Here's what I don't understand. Everyone's shaving these kids' heads. Why are you shaving your kids? Just let their hair grow. They got little business meetings they got to go to? They got little Zooms?
It was like the old Seinfeld thing where when Jerry tried to shave his chest. Wasn't it Jerry shaving his chest?
Yeah.
And then next thing he knew, he shaved the entire thing because he kept evening it out. That's what I tried to do. I tried to clean up like the sideburns and the back of the hair. And then it was bad. And then I just kept going higher and higher to try to fix it.
I don't even know what the hell that effort's called.
One day we're going to have people call up and I'm going to give them child advice. Because you guys...
Well, we should do that this week.
I don't know what's going on with you guys and your kids. Why are we shaving kids? Just let the hair grow long. Who cares?
Can we do that later this week? Adam Abdallah... Who is just married, has no kids, doesn't want to have kids. He hands out kids' advice. Parents could use this right about now.
Yeah. You know what you're going to do is you're going to anger the parents who are already a little bit stressed out because of obvious reasons. And now they're going to listen to Adam give them advice on certain things. I'm not sure that you want to light that candle.
You gave Mason like a bit of a Mo Howard look.
I was going to say, Sylvie, why not just go all the way and just give him a complete buzz?
I said that to Allie.
Yeah.
I said, let's just shave it.
I think fair's fair. I think Mason should be able to cut your hair.
Didn't you? You gave him the reverse Friar Tuck.
Well, Braxy's got the Friar Tuck.
I got to see that one.
Yeah. Allie took this picture and sent it to me just now. She made it look, she embellished it a little. If you looked at it from the front and you spiked his hair on top, you would say that doesn't look too
bad. Wow, that's a really crappy haircut with spikes on top with a hair gel.
Who'd you shave first?
Him, Mason.
Mason.
Did you send the picture of Braxton out yet?
No, I got to have my wife
see
send that
one.
Yeah. Corey wanted to get in on the Bulls conversation, then we'll reintroduce the poll question. Corey in Evergreen Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, pal?
Hey, real quick, guys. Hey, hello. Hey, hope you guys are staying safe. Listen, I got a little take. This is Corey Pope from Evergreen Park. I want you guys to listen to this. The reason why the Chicago Bulls have not got a high-profile player, a high-profile coach, or a high-profile GM in this organization in years is because of one name, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. If you let the best player to ever lace up a pair of sneakers get away without retiring as a Bull until Reinsdorf leaves or gives up this team, the only way you're going to get a Dwayne Wade or somebody like that is if you overpay them. Trust and believe me, it's been said. Michael Jeffrey Jordan still has his stench around this team in a negative way. Just my take on it.
See, I believe you could have still succeeded. There are some things that are true, Corey, but I think there are other teams in the league who have let guys go. Like the Lakers always recover from letting Shaq go. They'll still find Gasol. You know what I mean? And year in and year out, these teams find different ways to recover.
Listen, this team was what? They were in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? Now, I mean, the point I'm making is that if you would have continued that path and you would have won, you would have been able to speak a different narrative when you're sitting in front of free agents and doing other things. So it's a matter of, I agree with Sylvie, I think this is a matter of executing a plan that brings success, then that begets more success.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll check Hey, guys, stay safe, okay?
You too. Thanks for calling, Corey.
Now, listen, I'm not completely poo-pooing. I mean, I'm sure there are players that feel that way. But how long ago was that?
98 was his last year with Bulls. I mean,
listen, if Tibbs and that Bulls team gets to the NBA Finals or wins an NBA championship, do you think the narrative is different?
Do you think Bill Belichick will forever be... There'll be a scarlet letter for him because he let Brady go. Like, I feel like the good ones still find ways, even though, yes,
yeah,
to recover.
I agree with you. I think you can recover from, as difficult as some may be, or may believe that is how difficult that is to overcome. Listen, winning cures everything. Find a way to win. Be better at drafting. Hire better coaches. Have a better relationship when you find a good coach. Find a way to win, and my guess is you're going to be able to erase a lot of that negativity that has festered in the past.
Yes. By the way, Abdallah, have we found a sort of like a parents' underground thing where we're all shaving our kids' hair?
Oh, I've seen this around Twitter all weekend.
Oh,
parents are getting fed up and shaving their kids, and I don't understand. Like, as someone who doesn't have kids, obviously, there's two things I don't understand. Why kids have bedtime, they're not getting up for meetings or anything. I get it if they have school.
Because
that's fine.
We need rest time.
I get it.
We need alcohol time.
Don't have kids.
Kids also need more sleep.
And then the other thing is, but Mellor's admitted, without having school, the kids are going to bed a little bit later.
I still have them in bed by 9 as opposed to 8:30.
We're pushing it back
the rush to shave them. Why?
Okay, you got to stop talking about shaving them like they're dogs. You're cutting their hair.
The pictures that I'm getting from Sylvie and the pictures from Mike here, this is a shaving. This is not a clip around the ears. This is a shave as if they were being shorn like they're sheep.
They may be clipped, but shaving implies like, hey, I got a 12-year-old kid who's starting to get leg hair, and we cut his hair, and then we shaved his legs.
Well, I'm just calling it like I see it, Waddle. These kids look shaved.
By the way, our poll question today, too, has had a ton of votes. In just a few hours, we've had almost 7,000 what we're calling Bears fans vote on this. And it is getting closer by the second. You can vote on it. It's the Toyota Twitter poll. Visit your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. When times get better, they will stick by you through thick and thin, just as they always have. They're awesome people. We appreciate their partnership. We're asking people, Bears fans, are you rooting for Mitch Trubisky to win the open quarterback competition?
Am I allowed to answer this with nuance? Because people don't allow nuance these days.
I don't know why you've gotten slapped on this one today.
Yeah, well, that's fine because I think it was a grand, as I said from the very beginning, I think this was a grand question. You know why? Because it makes you actually think. You don't just go, duh, and hit a button. You can actually go, oh, wait a second. Now, I can formulate an opinion that's not just a yes or no answer. While the answer is yes or no, I have a process of coming to my conclusion. So that process for me was really simple. I am cheering for him not just to win a competition between two mediocre quarterbacks. I'm cheering for him for the light to finally go on and him be something that we all are more than skeptical that he can become, because that's the best outcome for this team. If all of a sudden Mitch gets it and Mitch becomes a win because of quarterback, nobody can tell me that that's not the best outcome. Now, I can also tell you if the question was, who do you expect to start opening day, which I have voted that way from the very beginning, I would vote Nick Foles. If you ask me, will I be cheering for Mitch, I will say yes, because to me, that's the best ultimate outcome.
Right. And that was the operative word is win. That we were simply talking about based on Lewis Riddick's discussion with Cap today about, you know, who do the Bears want to win, isn't the best thing to happen, even if we perceive it as the longest of long shots. Let's say it's 100-1 that we believe Mitch is going to come in, get the offense, be so accurate, and he's going to progress where he takes the job and runs with it. And he never turns back, and we can write the storybook in 10 years from now. When they got Nick Foles, that made all the difference in Mitch Trubisky's career. Even if we don't believe it, we still think that would be the best situation.
No doubt. A 25-year-old quarterback with great athletic ability who finally got it, worked on his fundamentals, became more accurate, and finally in his fourth year became the quarterback that you had hoped he would become when you drafted him second overall. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I would vote against that happening.
We're 6/10 of a point away from this being a virtual tie. It is 49.4% of the people saying yes, they are rooting for Mitch. It is now 50.6% of the vote saying no, they are not rooting for Mitch. And again, there's a difference between saying, do you believe the light will ever go on for Mitch? The answer is probably
no. Be careful, because when you introduce nuance to a conversation, some people get flustered about that.
So you can vote online a lot there. Also, today would be the championship game in NCAA tournament.
In the NCAA. Start of Masters Week as well. Yeah. So maybe there's a little bit of an edge that exists today than it didn't last Monday.
All right, well, let's have some. I'm excited about this list, Waddle, because today, for our Final Four topic, we're going through, because it's the Final Four based on the NCAA tournament, we're asking people today, what is their all-time favorite NCAA tournament teams? Doesn't have to be a Final Four team. Doesn't have to be a championship game team. Could be your favorite college basketball teams ever. We will go through our Final Four list next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2-6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we've had fun with the Final Four. We're going to continue this, even though the championship would be denied. I know it was based on March Madness, but why not? There are so many more topics that we could talk about here.
I don't think we should quit this.
So the way the Final Four works is we all give you our top four list on the favorite something. It's not what we perceive as the best. This is a totally subjective thing. We're not ranking the best. This is our favorite things. And then today is our favorite NCAA teams ever, men's basketball. Or if you want to, you know, you want to go women's basketball, you want to go Notre Dame. I saw the classic game from a couple years ago was on the other day. But whatever you want here, from 4-1.
Whatever you want.
I'm going old school here. Can I start this, Waddle?
Ooh, I got some old school on my lists too, brother.
This is, when it comes to college basketball, the height of my college basketball fandom is when I was a child. And it was when college basketball was so meaningful.
Your grandfather taking you to college basketball games too, as well as Bulls games?
I bonded.
You were a rich kid growing
not
up.
Not true. I did not go to college basketball games, okay. but we were at the Paul House. It was nice.
Well, you lived through a great era then.
That's the thing. And they were on WGN, and they were so good. And, you know, there weren't the cable stations to watch all the different conferences. There were conference television stations. So, and this is when it was just, and they were just, you know me, I root for my home team most of the time. But I'll go, here we go. Number four. And this is going old school, but it's not going a local team.
By the way, do you think that you and I will intersect? I said intersect,
yes,
Mellor,
on
a couple of these?
Who?
Oh, yeah,
you and Mellor,
sure.
Or me?
No, you. I was just saying for Mellor, I said intersect.
I'm willing to bet that my number four selection is in your top four.
I'm going to guess that we'll have two of the same teams.
Okay, this team, I was on my eighth grade Washington, D.C. trip. And we all got to watch it from, like, we all piled into a hotel room. And they were one of the biggest underdogs ever. And they pulled off the win. Okay. And that's the Raleigh-Massimino 85 Villanova championship team. All they right. slayed the Dragon of Georgetown. We never thought they could do it. But it was a lot of fun to watch, and I loved that team, and I loved him running around. Number three is the 2002 SIU Salukis. This is the first Sweet 16 team under Bruce Weber, and they got to the Sweet 16, Waddle, by beating a Bob Knight-led Texas Tech team.
Was That's it, right.
Here at the United Center. So I got to witness that game in person. It was our first Sweet 16 team. They were 28-8. That's number three on my list. Number two is one
they
of the,
were not that was not on my list.
I know, I knew that. Okay. Number two is one of the great heartbreakers, but the entire season was absolutely awesome. I was a senior in high school, and you know that, and when you're 17 and you're watching sports, how meaningful that is. And this team was more like a professional team. It had our good buddy Kendall Gill on it, Stephen Bardo, our friend, Kenny Battle. This was the Flying Illini team that should have won it all. They were upset in the Final Four by Michigan. I still have bad dreams about that game. But that 89, it was very hard between the 05 Illini and this team. But I could not rationalize keeping off the 89 Flying Illini team because they were so damn good. And number one was the 1980-81 DePaul Blue Demon team that was ranked number one for almost the entire year, Waddle, and then they were upset in the first round by St. Joe's. They had Mark Aguirre and Terry Cummings on the same team. They were 27-2. I was dreaming championship only to get heartbroken once again. Oh. But those were all teams that I loved and I followed very closely.
All right, that's a good list. I only had one of your teams, okay? Now, look, there wasn't a lot of good college basketball going on in Cincinnati. When
sure,
I was,
there was.
Yeah,
Cincinnati yeah. was good.
Nothing that gave me a ton of joy. So number four, Phi Slamma Jamma, the 82-83 team that Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde the Glide both played on.
Yeah, that was great.
I mean, come on, that
they got
was
upset by North Carolina State.
Okay, right? Number three is the NC State no, team okay. that actually
oh,
beat Phi Slamma Jamma.
I like that.
Courtesy of the Lorenzo Charles tip in dunk at the very end.
Jimmy V.
So that's number three. Number two is the Villanova team that beat Georgetown.
I knew
in the
we would have that yeah. both on our list.
That was fantastic. I believe that and. Remember, they finished the year, even after beating Georgetown, just 25-10. They were fourth in the Big East that year. What were they? Were they the eighth seed? Aren't they still the worst seed to ever win a national title? Is that correct, or did somebody else?
No, I bet you're good at usually this stuff, so I would just
resign. Take that, Meller. That's coming your way in a couple of days, that kind of trivia, mister. And number one was the UNLV Running Rebels team that beat Duke by 30 in the championship game. Like, that team had Larry Johnson, Stacey Ogman, who else
Greg
was on
Anthony.
That team? Greg Anthony was on that team.
Anderson Hunt.
Yes, you said Hunt. I just remember. That was a fun team. So that's my top four.
There are two teams that I look to in college basketball that had the most swag of my lifetime.
Oh, don't give it away. Don't give it away.
One of them is on your list, so I'll leave it there. The other one is UNLV.
Yes, I will let you weigh in a moment, Sylvie, because that one is atop my list. But in terms of my favorite NCAA tournament teams, let's start with number four, the 02-03. Syracuse Orange Men, led by Carmelo Anthony, the freshman who went on to win the title that year. And the reason they have a place near and dear to my heart was because, you know, whenever you win your pool on the strength of the team winning the entire tournament, you always have fond memories. And so I won my bracket that year on the strength of Syracuse. So they're number four for me. Number three, I will give you, Waddle, the same 89-90 UNLV Running Rebels.
That team was
so fun to watch. They just crushed everybody. And the following year, they were even better, but they actually lost
the championship to
Duke by 1 point. So they were undefeated when they lost. Number two for me, the alma mater. Loyola, baby, the Ramblers, 17-18. Who could forget that unforgettable run by the Ramblers?
You could forget that.
And you were with them the entire season.
Oh, God, it was so great. I just can't forget it. And the number one team for me, of course, you were alluding to them, Sylvie, the Fab Five, the Michigan Wolverines. They were awesome. The freshmen who went on to lose the championship game, not just their freshman year, but also their sophomore year as well. Everybody remembers Chris Weber calling the timeout against North Carolina. That was their sophomore year. But as freshmen, they also lost the championship game to Duke. So the Fab Five, always unforgettable.
The black Sox, the extra long, like Michael used to wear the long shorts. Mm-hmm. Didn't they basically then go to the extra long shorts that would like go down to the calves?
They were basically wearing parachute pants as as shorts. And they had so much swag that they were more impactful, I think, in terms of what they did in society than in a lot of ways of what they did on the court.
What a great team.
That's a good list. Good
what
list,
do you got, Abdallah?
Mine are all personal because like Meller, a very vocal graduate of Loyola. I don't have any. Columbia didn't go to any Final Fours.
Did I hear you say though earlier today that you attended DePaul?
Yeah, I went to. So DePaul was on trimesters. I went to 2 out of 3 trimesters and then dropped out.
Why?
Because I hated it. what do you want me to say?
Because
I hated it. I rage quit DePaul. Walked out in the middle of a class and dropped out, and then went to Columbia. This is part of it. So number four for me, the Northern Iowa team from 2010. They beat Kansas, and Ali Faroukmanesh, fellow Arab, was on that team. So
one of the great calls ever by Kevin Harlan, right?
Yes. Yeah, when they beat Kansas in 2010. Sorry, Danny. But Ali Faroukmanesh will forever have a place in my heart. Number three, the Loyola team. It was great here. Like, just going to bars and watching Loyola, and, like, the whole city was involved with it, even though, like, only, like 20 people went to Loyola. My wife went to Loyola, so I think she overlapped with Mel. I think we figured that out.
Do you remember how the silliness of the Sister Jean debate, like,
oh my God,
how people took the anti-Sister Jean
route? How can you take anti-Sister Jean?
People got, Cornette was big on that. I think even Meller was in on
who?
That.
Who are we talking about now?
Jordan, Sister Jean.
Who's that?
Right, exactly.
Number two on my list is the 2005 U of I team. When I rage quit DePaul, I went and visited my buddy for that. He went to U of I, and I was there when they beat Arizona, not at the game, but on the campus. And it was easily the most drunk I've ever been in college. Easily. It was one of those nights where you go out. I remember watching the game, and I don't remember how I got back to the dorm. Like, I remember waking up in the dorm and being like, I don't know what happened for 4 hours last night. One of those kind of drunks.
Ooh, that was just awesome.
Oh, yeah. Number one for me. The year was 2007. I was still an intern here at ESPN 1000. It came down to the final game to win. I was broke. It came down to the final game between Florida and whoever they played. And if whoever they played won, Waddle was going to win the bracket. And if Florida won, I was going to win.
Whoa.
And so the back-to-back champions of Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer, Al Horford, all those guys, when they won, I won rent for a month.
Nice.
It was awesome.
That is great. Waddle, did you know that you beat out Abdallah or that he beat you out in a pool 1 year?
I did not know that.
It was great because I was like, Waddle doesn't need them. Like, I didn't need, like,
we all
I'm
need
like,
extra
you don't need
cash.
The money. I don't need, well,
you
I
and
do-
Bleck were out drinking that
oh
night.
Oh my God. I got so drunk that night again because I was like, I just won so much money. It wasn't
seems
even
to be
that-
a theme to a lot of these stories.
Oh, yeah. That's because that's all, my only connection to college basketball is getting drunk and making money. Like, I have no
the
other
pool.
Connection to college basketball.
Sure. I remember watching that Memphis team too, Derrick Rose. That Memphis team would be on my list of probably top 10. Because I loved that team, and I thought it should have won the national championship.
Well, but they would have had to vacate it anyways.
But there were so many good ones that could be on the list. So what do we have as our number ones? We have the Fab Five Michigan team.
The 1989/90, so the 1990 UNLV Running Rebels.
Okay. And then we have mine of the 80-81 DePaul Blue Demons. And then the Florida team.
The 06-07 Florida Gators.
Okay, there you go.
That was a fun, those were two fun years when they won back-to-back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Noah the would Florida? Party, yeah.
Yeah.
He was great, remembering those interviews after the game.
Yeah, and Billy Donovan strutting along the sidelines. Yeah.
Remember how good Mike Miller was?
Sure.
Oh, as a college player.
All right, Mark Jean Greco in our first Midwest Bank studio coming up in a few minutes.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Just hit myself with the headphones right in the face.
Okay.
It hurts bad.
Uncertain times, I know. There's a part of it, too, in the headphones where if you go too quickly, your finger could get pinched.
Oh, yeah.
This is a dangerous job.
Dangerous.
It is. I don't think people realize just how dangerous
it really is. Perilous.
How about this, Waddle? So Waddle's been broadcasting at home for several weeks now. Marky's in the First Midwest Bank studio. Mark decided today, out of all days, after we've been together for 3 weeks in the same studio, and we are always 6 feet apart at least.
At least more. 6 feet apart.
And then Mark today decided to move a seat over, further away from me today. Wow.
So now we're like 15 feet apart.
What inspired you to be extra careful?
Because
today,
Dr. Fauci said this is going to be the worst week. I'm just being very precautious.
Yeah, but that means that more of the hideous stuff is like you won't even know for 2 weeks, possibly,
true.
Mark, that you caught something from Sylvie.
We just want the curve to start bending down a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it's a mindset. Came to work with my mask and gloves and everything else. Wiped down my car, wiped down my office, wiped down my desk, my computer.
Do you drive with the mask on?
Yeah.
You don't? No. Why would you?
Well, I just pull it down around my mouth because if you breathe into
your
mask.
Like your pants, right, when you drive?
If you breathe into my underwear smothered in onions. Yeah. So if you have your mask on over your nose and mouth and have sunglasses on, you fog up your glasses. I figured that out.
So and then you wreck your car. And then
so you can't
you've reached your destination.
Yeah. So everybody have a good weekend. I got to tell you, I don't know why I'm doing this. So I'm binge watching a bunch of movies.
But they're all old ones that you've seen.
This is like my fifth Nazi Hunter movie in a row. I did, what is it called? Operation Finale, where this band of Jewish underground guys capture Eichmann in Argentina and bring him back to Israel for trial. Great movie. Ben Kingsley's, you know, he's the star.
How old is this movie?
That's only a couple years old.
Okay.
But then Gerard Butler in Hunter Killer, U.S. submarine captain, where they wind up having to save the Russian president from a Russian coup engineered by the Secretary of Defense in Russia.
Wondering why you have anxiety
dreams. So then I'm up all night. Yeah. I'm up all night. But I have
watch
a few
Game of Thrones and
now,
Ozark.
That's
and
just as
things.
Bad. Like that image of
I
the woman standing
this.
On top of the castle, getting her head cut off, her head rolls down the thing.
That's the only thing
that sticks in my head.
The violence in Game of Thrones is like nothing I've ever seen.
Sex and violence. Nothing,
yeah,
right?
let's watch that before we go to bed then. That'll be good. So I have a few more suggestions here.
Okay.
You know, this book's been out forever. It sold like 43 million copies already. Make Your Bed.
Don't read.
This is by the Army general who says good frame of mind is the first thing you do is you make your bed in the morning.
Fights depression, anxiety, and now cabin
Cap
fever.
Cap wrote that book, right? Then you clean up, you sweep up the room, the locker room.
You
sweep the sheds.
You make your bed first thing in the morning. You've accomplished something, and then you take it to the next level. Maybe you clean up the kitchen, then you clean out your closet. You get reorganized.
That's after a 5 a.m. trip to the toilet to you know take an old guy leak, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's about five of those every night.
I got up.
You know what I did? I closed the bathroom door because my faucet is leaking in the sink, and of course I got a leaky
There's
faucet.
For that.
That's another old guy thing, leaky faucet. But so I can't get a plumber to come up and actually fix it because you know nobody's coming into your place. So I closed the bathroom door so I don't hear the drip, drip, drip. Get up in the middle of the night, bam, right into the door. You know, it's just geez.
What was the deal with Bleck's picture with Cap? That wasn't really Cap taking a picture of himself shirtless in bed, was
no,
that?
No, he put out a few Instagram videos, Instagram Live.
Well, that was a still shot of the video, right?
It was a screenshot of a video.
What was he doing?
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Whoa. See, I didn't know about any of this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could have done 4 hours.
Wasn't this the guy that said post pictures of on some nice vacation shots without you in it? And he's in every picture. Like, Boyle said, do you have any pictures that you're not in?
This has been, Cap did post that, and it's a nice thing to post. This has been something going around Facebook for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was very nice when a bunch of people did this a week ago.
Yeah. But wait, what happened? He really did a video at 3 in the morning from his bed?
Let me see if I can find it.
It's ridiculous.
He's been very nice. I got to say, though. Cap is a very good neighbor. Cap has looked out for me and the family and has asked me countless times if we need anything to let him know, and he will deliver stuff to our house.
Is he bringing in your garbage cans and stuff? Posing down the driveway?
No, not that.
Bringing cookies over?
Groceries, if we need groceries.
What a guy.
Yeah.
My daughter's making masks if you guys need them down there at the station, Mark.
Wow. And you know what? My friend Elizabeth and her daughter are making masks for local hospitals. On the sewing machine, I've got a picture posted on Twitter. That's great. So she's another hero. Also, I've got
my wife is actually taking pictures of me looking strange. I was going to say in compromising positions, but that wouldn't have sounded right. But like
that's
in
any
strange
different from any other day at your house,
exactly. And then posting them in places, and I don't think that's cool.
So Cap posted this video at 5 o'clock in the morning. Do you guys want to hear it real quick?
Yeah, and so he's laying in bed. Wait, hold on, 1 second. Said that he's laying in bed with his shirt off?
So he's laying in bed with his shirt off. Apparently there was
an issue
with his dog. He
sleeps naked, right? He's told everybody that.
Yeah. Here it is. I'm going to play it off.
I thought he was in a cryogenic tube.
Middle of the night, and our dog just threw up in our bed. Stanley.
It's because you were naked.
Right over there, that guy. Mindy decided it'd be a good idea to bake her own dog treats today. And Stanley ate like 4 of them. And Stanley just threw up. Right in our bed. Yep. Welcome to our life.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
And he's shirtless.
It's okay to sleep naked with your dog because it's your dog.
We were talking about that line.
Yeah.
He's got like 3 now, I think.
Is there any truth to the rumor that the dog looked at Cap sleeping naked and puked and it had nothing to do with the treats? Is there any truth to that?
I think that's all true. By the way, I have somebody else who can help you at home with kids. Sylvie.
Well, how's this?
My good friend, Florence Ann Romano, the Windy City Nanny. You can check her out at windycitynanny.com. That's capital C, capital N, windycitynanny.com.
Does she cut hair, Mark?
She might.
Well, wait, do you want to let a nanny who you don't know into your house in
she
the middle
She doesn't come
of
in your house. To her website. She's got all these great tips on how to keep your kids entertained, everything else. Jeez.
So he wants his kids looked after. He doesn't want to read anything about it. Those kids are tearing his house
up. Why don't you learn how to be a nanny, Sylvie?
These emails.
She can teach you.
It takes, first of all day to read every e-learning email that
we get. Her website is very succinct. Florence Ann Romano. Go to it.
Okay.
Windy City Nanny.
I got enough instructions. I just want this.
You want to do nothing. You just want to lay on the couch.
I want to pull my share.
No, you don't.
But
you can't be pulling your share on the couch. That's disgusting.
Pulling the share should not be the whole day.
At least pull the shades down if you're going to pull your share on the couch.
All he wants to do is shave his kids. That's all he wants.
Mark, have you seen Sylvie's haircut? The haircuts he gave the kids?
Yeah, I just looked at it. Nice job. Oh, my God.
Their hair's not long.
He just buzzed the runway through the poor kid's head.
I still want to see Braxton's. Have you posted that one?
Yeah, let me text Allie to get a picture from Braxy.
You know,
I know why. I know why Mason's got a sad look on his face because he turned to his right, and looked in the mirror.
He plays into it too.
That's the next contest. We all shave our own hair and see who did the best job.
That is a good contest. Something to bet on. Here's a question. This new trivia game that we're doing, now that it's legal in Illinois to gamble, can we run a gambling ring for our listeners to gamble on
First
who's going to win trivia?
First of all, you just said run a gambling ring. Yeah. So.
Why not? It's legal now.
I mean,
a legal gambling ring.
That doesn't
ring.
Sound right. Yeah.
That wouldn't be a gambling ring.
No. If we pony up $20 million to become a book, we can certainly
Could
run
Club
one.
Hawthorne put it, aren't they a sponsor? Can they put it on their... Can they set odds on their app? It's not sports gambling. This is gambling on a radio station thing. But there may be so many people looking to gamble, they may be willing to gamble on our
tournament.
Who's
going to handle the money?
Let me ask Casey Erlach real quick.
What'd you say?
Wow.
He said, I'm not even going to.
What'd you say?
Let me ask Casey Erlacher. That's what he said.
That's wrong. He's a friend of the show.
His brother is.
No longer a fan of the show.
Wow. Wow, man.
So did you happen to see the Clippers-Bulls simulated game on Twitch today? NBA 2K?
Who played them? Like, was it a
Well, tonight, the Bulls were supposed to play the Clippers.
Okay, so
the NBA staged the simulated 2K game on Twitch.
Was it in L.A.?
Yeah, they were in white. Yeah,
let me guess. So. With 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, Jim Boylan had no timeout.
No, with 10 seconds left, he called a timeout, and they were down by 52. They lost 122-70. And you got to see the virtual Jim Boylan. We ran it at 5 o'clock.
Oh, did you?
Oh, it's great. It's a great shot.
All right. Oh. I want to ask you if you don't care about the Bulls, but I want to ask you if, like,
apparently nobody else cares when they've been turned down by the Pacers GM, the Heat's GM. They want to talk to the Nuggets GM and the Jazz GM. They're like, I'm not here. Tell them
I'm not here.
The
Windy City Bulls GM actually turned them down as well.
It's funny. The headline for Casey Johnson's story, I got to read to you because I think it's unintentionally funny, and I'll do that with Marky. More Marky is brought to you by our great friends, and I mean great friends and partners at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom and Maddie Moore are the absolute best. They are closed at the moment, but they will reopen when it is safe for all Chicagoans.
And we're going to have a party there when that happens.
Oh, big party.
Huge.
More Marky next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Hey guys, time to direct your attention once again to a fantastic initiative. ESPN Chicago and the Illinois broadcasters are uniting against hunger. Eight food banks in Illinois are responding to the critical need for food caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Your gift will be processed by the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Northern Illinois Food Bank. You can donate without leaving your home. The new goal is $1.25 million. The Illinois Children's Healthcare Foundation are now matching every dollar donated up to $200,000. Go to feedingillinois.org/unite, or you can text FEEDIL to 91999. Your generous gift will help make sure families in our communities have enough to eat. And as we've said now for several days, this is a fantastic initiative and one we encourage everyone to participate
in. Hey, they keep upping the ante. Over a million
now. It's been fantastic.
And it keeps going. It's really amazing.
Yeah, thanks to everyone who contributed. It's because of you that that thing is going over budget. Here's the unintentional funny headline. This is on NBC Sports Chicago, guys, and it's Casey Johnson's story about the Bulls, you know, and they've been turned down. Sources. Bulls on track to interview two candidates for front office role. Doesn't it just sound funny?
Yeah.
They got two interviews.
Hey, we got two.
Two.
Hey, we got turned down twice.
Two basketball executives have been arrested, and they will, in fact, interview for the Bulls front office job.
So this Justin Zanuck is the guy that they've already interviewed. He's with Utah. He used to be a player's agent. He went to Northwestern, by the way. And back in the
SWAT kid.
Back in the day, he used to be Omer Asik's agent.
Ah, got him a nice deal.
And then Karnisovas is the other guy from Denver who's been high on a lot of people's lists for years. Had a great career overseas, obviously.
Nuggets, sleepy good.
Yes. So those are the two. We'll see if they interview anybody else. Are there people that we don't know?
So Pax will be on the payroll forever as an advisor. And then Gar will either be a scout, and they'll send him to, you know, East Bechuana Land or Australia or something, and he'll
Where's
have to stay
at?
There.
East West of
what East Bechuana Land, yeah. And then, or they'll just kick him out. But see, you know, it sounds like Lauri Markkanen. He has to put his stamp of approval on this. Like, hey, not only do we need a new executive, we got to get rid of everybody else.
Is that
you know
what's
I want to be
right?
traded.
That's from Colin.
Well, he loves to stir it, doesn't he?
I think it's an interesting conversation. Like, if you were given an equitable trade opportunity, would you want to move Lowry based on what you've seen? Or do you want to see Lowry continue to try to develop with different voices in the room?
Aren't you selling low, though? Aren't you just, I mean, like, isn't it like not quite
of
Mitch
course.
Bad, but you're selling, and what is someone giving you? It was sort of like the Zach LaVine thing, Waddle, where you brought up, hey, what are you going to really get for Zach if you do trade him and he scores enough where he's probably worth more than anything you'd get for him? I think Lowry isn't going to get you back much, so I would just prefer to see if with real people who develop players and a coach,
that's the route I would take.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point, because you know your knee-jerk reaction is, as a fan and as a media person, you know, you're sick and tired of hearing Gar and Pack say, well, we still want to see what he can do when he's not hurt. We still want to see this under these circumstances. We're tired of this because we don't believe anything they say, and we don't have any confidence in what they can do. So, yeah, I think one more try, just one, with a new set of execs who have a reputation knowing how to develop talent.
I want to see, exactly, I want to see Lowry in the hands of somebody that inspires more faith from me. Not a basketball expert than Jim Boylan. You know, I want to see somebody else try to get Lowry to where we all think he was supposed to be.
Because once again, you're promoting, to me, the best city in America. And at the very least, the third biggest market in the country. And a fantastic place to live. And you can't sell it to anybody because nobody wants to come near this organization. No one. And they'll say, well, you know, the taxes in Illinois and the weather and blah, blah, blah. You're playing indoors. You've got a fabulous city. Come on. You know, but this organization is just like in the bottom of the barrel when it comes to being an attractive destination. And the NBA, more than any other league, superstars run the show. And, you know, and you're never going to attract guys like that.
Yeah, yeah. I see, Waddle, don't go on the internet. I see pictures of the Masters the way it looks now, or at least Augusta. There's a photo gallery. I think Augusta tweeted it out. But it is rescheduled for November. Do you believe, if you had to put money on it, all your money on it right now, are they playing it or are they not playing it in November?
Not all my money?
All your money. You have
so I'm going
to
lose one way or the other. Seriously.
I would say yes, they will play in November. Now look, the British Open's already been canceled. I think you move it that far back in November, I think you'll get the Masters in. The BMW, which was rescheduled for August 25th, at Olympia Fields, hopefully they'll play that. And that's just one leg of what could be a crazy stretch run for the PGA Tour. I mean, you know, the playoff format and everything else, you're bunching all these tournaments toward the end of summer and fall. That could be exciting. It really could. But it's a big if.
If you force me to bet all my money on it, I would bet yes for the reasons Mark mentioned. And I think that if you just kind of walk through common sense, okay, maybe there will be no spectators. But every player will be tested. Every caddy will be tested at the expense of the Augusta National Golf Course, and not so that, you know, at that point, hopefully anyone who needs a test will get a test. So we're assuming all of that, right? It'll be November. By that point, everyone, so as long as a golfer isn't jumping ahead of somebody else getting a test. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we're assuming that. And my assumption is we'll get to that point. At that point, I'm going to put my money down that, yes, that there will be a tournament then.
And that's what everything's based on, the NBA and all the other leagues and everything else. Everyone has to be tested first.
The PGA doesn't have control of that event.
That's correct.
That's an event that is run, I believe, by the membership.
You're talking about the
Augusta.
The Augusta, yeah. They run their own show.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so you're back on Wednesday, right, Mark?
I'm back on Wednesday. One quick thing. I was binge watching NFL Network, and I got my AFL fill with a Football Life Paul Brown, followed by Football Life Al Davis. Brown thing is so great. I knew all this, but had forgotten some of it. Refresh your memory. This guy was so innovative. The guard taking the play into the huddle. He invented the face mask. He put a microphone in his quarterback's helmet in the 40s, and all the other teams got together and protested and tried to jam the signal. And sometimes the quarterback would get a taxi cab dispatcher inadvertently interrupting the play call. That was plugged back in the 80s. Then he goes to the Bengals after being kicked out of the Browns, the franchise he created, wins there. It's so great. It is really, really good. And of course, Al Davis.
This has been another American
Just Win,
Football
Baby
League reference, exclusively from Marchie and Greco.
I'm going to watch Game of Thrones tonight.
Oh, I probably will, too. It's a good plan.
I got to pick another movie that's going to keep me up all night.
Thank you to Mark Jean Greco and Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle and the River. They will reopen when it's safe for all Chicagoans. Thanks to Dan Dockich, our only other guest. Tony Baselli was with Carmen and Yurko. He had COVID-19. He had to go to the ICU, I believe, and he tells his story coming up in 2 minutes from right now. Then we have a championship game tonight, because tonight would have been the championship game. This is a classic one from 2019 with Virginia and Texas Tech. So from a year ago. Thank you to Meller and Abdallah. For Markey and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a healthy and safe Monday night.
That was a big thrill.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.